So, this week I would like to learn the Kitaluchas and Hilchas Tfilin, Halucha Hey, and it talks number 38, also a little bit from before. The Parsha begins, Ve'yi Chaya Sara. Torah is describing how long Sara lived. It says, Ve'yi Chaya Sara, the life of Sara, Meya Shona, 100 years, the Estrim Shona, 20 years, the Sheva Shona, 7 years, Shnei Chai Sora. What a long sentence. So Rashi brings down right away, why does it say Sora lived Meya Shona, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years? Normally it would say it lived 127 years. So why does it say it lived 100 years, 20 years? So Rashi explains that just like she was a tzedekis from beginning to the end. I'm not going to go into detail with Rashi, but the main thing is that the Torah wants to tell you kibas kif, the kibas kof le'onshin, and bas kof le'zayin of a no sin. She didn't sin. But it really says 4 times the name Shona. So Reb Nosson says a very, very important lesson from this pasuk. And he has a long take about this, which Reb Nachman spoke a lot about, which is a person should never get old. A person should be always fresh. The trick in Kedusha is never to let yourself get old. That means every day, it's not okay, it's the same davening, no, every day should be fresh. So the Torah says, when Sarah was 127, it was like when she was 100, it was like she was 20. When she was 20, it was like 7. You notice that the numbers is interesting. It's 100, and it's 20, and it's 7. It has a deep Kabbalistic meaning, which is maybe another day we'll explain why it's 100 and it's a 20 and a 7. But the Torah is telling us that the trick is fresh. The Rambam says a person should live in the present. I'm only living today and I will live to my fullest today. Not say, well, it's another boring day, just another, you know, another day. No, every day should be fresh. Like, so he says, and the Kitaluch explains even more, that the Rebbe explained, the Nachman explained, that the Pasuk calls the Yetzirah Zoken and Ksil. Shlema Melech refers to the Yetzirah as an old fool, because the Yetzirah wants you to be cold, removed, old, instead of fresh. You know, it's like the first time you put on film. It's the first time that, you know, it's like the Shabbos. Everyone had experiences which has very profound the first time. And the trick of this is every day you should feel fresh. So, it says in the Torah often, Ashenoichim mitzavuchu hayoyim, and Rashi always says the word hayoyim, like today is the first time you did it. And the Torah wants you to act this way. If you act this way, your life keeps growing. The Kedusha grows, you grow, you become more aware of Hashem, you move up, as they say. But if you don't, if it becomes boring and old, that's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah does not want you to be enthusiastic what you're doing. The greatest thing, look, the most, is always the passion that a person has. You know, let it be a young newlyweds. And let it be, it's the passion, it's the interesting, it's you have to act like this is the only day I'm living. And truthfully, it is this way. So, Nelson explains that the 4 times it said Shona represents the tefillin of the Rosh and tefillin Shel Yad. The tefillin Shel Rosh has 4 housings. We know the 4 batim. Tefillin Shel Yad also has 4 batim. This represents Malchus, kingship, which kingship means that you take upon yourself the old Malchus Shemayim every day. That means I take upon, I wake up in the morning and I say, today is a day I'll try to do my best. Look, we all struggle, we make mistakes, and we make things that we shouldn't. Maybe we didn't make the bracha the best way, maybe we didn't make a bracha, maybe we skipped the davening. But a person should be, every morning, should get up and say, I am the Kabul, O Malchus Shemayim. So he explains that tefillin represents another powerful thing, because tefillin is called emes. He goes through a great length. Emes is life. There's a very famous Gemara in the Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara relates this story. The Gemara says, Rava says, I have a Talmud, a pupil, a student. If you would give him all the money in the world, he would never change a word that comes out of his mouth. You know, when people tell me that, you know, they never lie, I know to myself they just lied. Everyone has a certain things that you lie and you don't see the truth and you get caught, and it's, you know, it's very difficult to say everything the truth. It's extremely hard working. Nachman speaks about different places just to say over only the truth. Don't embellish, don't say it was more or less, and he offered me a better job, and say the truth as is. Is sometimes for many people is extremely difficult, but it is a difficult challenge. But the Gemara says, Rabbi said, I have a Talmud who never would have lied if you give him all the money in the world. The Gemara relates that there was a place that was called Kushta. Kushta was a place no one died young. Can you imagine? Everyone lived very old, and if they wanted to die, they would leave the city and die. It's a very interesting Gemara, because I don't want to go into this right now. You know, see that your person has the right to die. But the Gemara says they would leave the city and they would die. As long as living, he got married to a lady there, the Gemara relates, and when he got married to her, two of his children died. The whole city came. What is this? No one dies over here. So what happened was, he said, let me tell you what happened. Yesterday, you know, someone knocked on the door while my wife was bathing her hair. And I didn't want to say that she's in the shower. Those days they were more sneezing. Today, we're not the most sneezing. Didn't want to say that. I said, she's not here. But she's not available. I didn't say exactly that she's here, she's bathing. I said, she's not here. And for that, two of his children died. Then they told them, leave the city. They wouldn't trust them anymore. Kicked them out of the city. So the Gemara says, Kishta, truth, is emes. Emes gives life. The emes is life, because Arnoson explains, the nochash, the snake, seduced Chava, brought death with a lie. He started it, and he says, with a lie. He wanted to say that Rabbi Shalom doesn't want you to eat from the fruit, because when you eat from the fruit, you'll be like a god and creates. It was a lie, and it was also a apikorsis. Seems like you could become a god. But that, the nochash sort of got, is entangled with the non-truth. The non-truth is death, sort of to say. The more truth there is, the more light there is. He brings here a bunch of psukim, but the pasuk says, points this out. Shlach orchu, send your light, vamitchu, and your truth, heimu yamchini, the truth will lead you. The pasuk, ahalich vamitechu, truth is the light. So what he says, that the more truth you bring into yourself, the more light you bring into yourself, the more life you bring into yourself. Tefillin represents the truth, he says. And that helps a person to, but in the great confusion of life, we get confused, we have a life, as I always say, is a great challenge. I always tell people, just to live for yourself is stressful, to take care of yourself. And if you're married, you have children, and your job, and being religious, and being having relationship with Hashem, all this is a great challenge. But the truth helps you live through all the confusion, because the truth is only one. That's why David HaMelech keeps on saying, the truth will light up the road, Shlomo HaMelech keeps on saying. So he says, let me explain. Sora is called it's called Malchus. The Gemara, it's a Pharisee Gemara. The Gemara calls Sora, she was a Malka, she was a queen, which represents Malchus. The Malchus represents faith, because in order to take responsibility, you have to be faith. Without Emunah, nothing grows. And the Emunah, the faith is that you believe in Hashem, that He created the world, and not only did He create the world, He sustains the world. Not only does He sustain the world, everything that happens is not a coincidence. And you believe in every detail, you believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Emunah is represents life, because the more faith you have, the better, the more alive you are. The Emunah brings to wisdom, he explains. So what he's explaining over here is that the tefillin represents the four shana. Tefillin should give a person a freshness. Listen, we're going to get up. I always try to tell myself, take a day today. If I didn't smile and live fullest, I'm the only one lost out. I think we should all ask ourselves, did we smile enough today? And what would have held back if you would have smiled today? I mean, it's only infectious. A smile, your happiness. You could have done the exact same thing. I'm telling you, all my headaches was there with my smile, without my smile. If I would have smiled better, my headaches, the whatever problems we had, it could have been much easier. It's the Yetzer Hara doesn't want happiness. It's not natural to be happiness, because it's the Yetzer Hara doesn't want. That represents the Nochash. The Nochash represents atzves, laziness, depression. So, but Reb Nosson explains, and it goes in great detail, and he says a very, very interesting thing. You know, the tefillin have a mavarta. You know what the mavarta means? The mavarta means where the straps go through. You know, remember in the tefillin, the back, the straps go through. That's called a bridge. That means under the bridge, the ritzuas go. It's held up. And if you notice in Shia, there's also a bridge with the ritzua. So he says a very, very profound thing, says Reb Nosson. There's a famous saying of the Rebbe, that even made his song, that this world is Gesher Tzar Miyoy. This world is a narrow bridge. You have to pass the narrow bridge and don't be afraid. You know, when a person is going on a narrow bridge and he says, I'm going to fall, he's going to fall. But if you just walk without fear, you're not going to fall. You know, you tell yourself you're going to fall. This world, the Ramachma says, is Gesher Tzar Me'oid, is a very narrow bridge. And the main thing is not to be fear, not to be afraid. How do you not be afraid? Is with Emunah in Hashem. And Reb Nosson adds, he says, that the Midas Hu Emes. Emes is the bridge. Yaakov Avinu was standing on the bridge. You know the story where Yaakov fought Esau that night. So the Pasuk says he was standing one leg on one side of the river, the stream, one leg on the other side of the river, and he picked over Mavoy Yabik. So Nostra says that Mavoy Yabik, that Yaakov Avinu was standing one leg on one side of the stream, one leg on the other side, and picked up the people and objects and put it on the other side, represents Emes. Yaakov is Titan Emes Liyankov, with the truth. And that lights up the road that we all have to travel. Every one of us needs to travel in this world. Everyone has a road. The main thing is not to be afraid. And not to be afraid of life, you need Emunah. You have to tell yourself, I believe in Hashem. And I believe I'm doing the best that I can. I'm going to do better. But not to be afraid of what this and what this. We have to have betochen Hashem. The more betochen Hashem you have, and that is Midas Yankiv. Because Emes is the first letter, the middle letter, and the last letter, which is Emes, goes through the Aleph, the Mem. The Zohar calls it the Berioich HaTichon, the middle ring, which was in the Mishkan. The Berioich HaTichon, because Emes cuts through everything. Whenever you're confused, and Nosson explains it a few places, whenever a person is, you should sit down and say, what is the truth? Ask yourself, what is the truth of the situation? Because he even says more, very often people, you know, don't allow you to become close to a tzaddik, don't allow you to daven, they would not allow you to go to Uman. You should always ask yourself, what is the truth? The truth cuts through all the chase, as you say, all the nonsense around, all the noise, which is the bilbulim. The truth is faith. It also explains that the emunah that a person has, the power of faith, helps a person grow. Because what happens in life is we struggle. And, you know, we wake up in a bad mood and things irk us and bother us. If a person knows that everything is Bashem, nothing will hold them back. He'll be able to grow. And he explains, it goes into a deep Kabbalistic thing over here. I'm going to try to, not to go into deep Kabbalah, but try to simplify it. And there's all the levels in the spheres. We know that Malchus is always the last. Malchus is the bottom. And Malchus represents the soul of the female. Shabbos Malchus. It's extremely holy, Shabbos Malchus, but that's what it represents. That means, like Sorah. Sorah represents Malchus. And the Shechinah was Shoida, the Shechinah rested in Avraham's tent because of Sorah. When Sorah died, the Shechinah left. Because the wife represents the Shechinah. The female represents the Malchus. So he says, the more a person has a Muna, the more he has Malchus, the more you can grow. The more you could long and desire and want to do the right thing. Because if you want and desire something, it's going to get done. No, I always tell this to people, anything you really want is going to get done. That's, person says, I cannot do it, you don't really want to do it. Because, as I tease many people about making meditation every day, if I would give everyone $100 for every 20 minutes of meditation, they'll have all the time. You tell them, you have to do it on your own, then they don't have time. And if $100 wouldn't be good, I guarantee you for $1,000, I was joking my shul, if I would tell everyone to come, $1,000 a week, you come every day in time for the afyomi, I would need a place as big as Madison Square Garden. All of a sudden, everyone has time and everyone wants to come. The truth is that you could do it if you want. It's just we're not motivated. So the more emunah you bring into yourself, the more faith you bring into yourself, the more you're able to cut through the chase. And tefillin represents the light of faith and the light of emunah, which brings into yourself. And he says a very interesting thing over here, which a lot of Hasidim are aware, but many who don't, that Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin is very important because that light, which according to Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, helps us the light to go out of the confusion that we are every day. So wearing tefillin helps a person enormously because tefillin represents that. What are we saying in tefillin? We say to tefillin, I believe in God. That's what you're saying. And I believe in Him, and I put on tefillin, and I don't really believe in Him. I worship Him. And I say, it's my God. And I'm worshiping him. And I don't really, I'm saying that, I'm always saying, I have to be madly in love with Him. So the tefillin is the tferes, is the glory of Klal Yisrael. We are the glory to Hashem. Hashem takes pride in us. By we wearing tefillin, we are so proud that we're a Jew. That's why tefillin is called an ois, a sign. Because other mitzvahs are not called a sign. Tefillin is called a sign because it's a sign that we're here worshipping Hashem. This is our shtolz, we say in Yiddish. This is our, and that's what the tefillin represents. And where he explains in the Great Debt that that's why there's four bottom, which represents the Dalet, which is Malchus. We know that the fourth child of Yaakov Avinu, the fourth child was Yehuda. Yehuda is called Malchus. Malchus is called the son. The Shemesh Yinin Shemoi. The Pesuk said Mashiach represents the son. Malchus represents the son, which represents the truth. What was the power of Yehuda? What was Yehuda's power? He was not going to cover up the story of Tamar. You know, today, if such a story happened, you know, when he was confronted, just briefly say, what happened was that Tamar tricked him into have intimacy, and she became pregnant. He had no idea who got her pregnant. And they were taking her out to be burned at stake, and she says, I am pregnant to the owner of the staff and the ring and the scarf, you say in English, and the psila. And what happened was, Yehuda said two words, Sotka Bemeni. He admitted it on the spot. You know, we had our president, and he, you know, was skirting around and, you know, without admitting any truth. Yehuda said the truth. That's the word Yehuda carries the name of Hashem inside, which represents, I admit my shortcoming. That's Malchus. Malchus means that buck stops here. I am in charge, and if something happens, my fault. That's why the fourth day, the sun was put up. When was the sun put up? Wednesday. Because Wednesday represents the Yehuda, which is Malchus, which is Mashiach, which is the sun, which lights up, which gives us light. That's Malchus. And the more emes you take into yourself, the more you take yourself of responsibility. See, one of the things today is we don't like to take responsibility. People like to be taken care of. The government should take care of me. They should pay me for this. They should pay me for that. That is not taking charge of your life. You hear sometimes such silly arguments that people demand, like, you know, the government owes me this. I mean, it means you're not taking rachrayus for yourself. You are living in this world. You are responsible for yourself. And the more you're responsible for yourself, the more a man you are. The Zohar says a very interesting thing, The Zohar says, what's the difference between a male and a man? And there's a gever and there's a gaver. Gever is a male, gaver is a man. Before he's married, he's called a male. After he's married, now he's a gaver, because now you took responsibility to take care of a lady. The lady represents Malchus. Now you are a responsible person. You got married, and you are responsible for your wife. And you're responsible for that. The responsibility of a person makes Malchus. That's why Yehuda, that's why Tefillin again is four. That's why it says four times the word Shon over here. You notice this number four gets repeated a lot. There's four Tefillin Sheyad, four Tefillin Sherosh. That represents Malchus. So then he explains in the Pasha something very profound. Do you know that Avram bought Ma'oros HaMachpelah for Arbua Meyois Shekel? 400 Shkolim. I remember in one of the Masechtas, and mainly in and Shkolim, Askol on the bottom quotes one of the Achronim, it comes out today a few million dollars. But the value of silver, I was astonished how expensive it was. No, and Avram wanted to take this so badly. Why was Avram? Remember the number four, it's 400. Something significant. Because Ephraim means dust. Ephraim is the gematria of Ein Hara, Ein Ra. Ephraim is the Beni B'chai says the word Ephraim is gematria Ein Ra, which is 400. What Ephraim represented, Ein Ra means someone you don't want the other person to have. That's the koich of the tumah. Kedusha is chesed. I'm kind. Avram represented chesed. This week's parsha talks about the chesed of Rivka. Let me explain something. I want to explain something very important to understand this. What does mean chesed by Avram? Avram did chesed. It last week's parsha, you take the parsha, he took three animals and he shechted that each one should have tongue. Which we know tongue is delicious if you like it. He says, come on, I'll shech one animal. Wait a minute. I mean, three animals, each one should have a tongue. And everything was freshly done. It wasn't like, you know, he said, everything was freshly done. Avram went, not just he was machmas oida, he gave the best of the best. Try to imagine, you invite a guest, and you go out, and you run out, and get him fresh tongue. I don't think that happens too often. You know, you have guests, someone who is really a guest, Avram invited them. He made them into guests, because it's not they were hungry. Avram wanted they should come in, they should eat by him, and he should... they should recognize as Hashem. Rivka, this week's parsha. Rivka's Eliezer Eved Avram is coming with 10 camels, loaded with all goods and a lot of slaves. And they walk over to this young girl. Can you fill us up water? She should have looked up to him and says, hello, you have a bunch of slaves here. What is this all about? That was the test. He wanted to see, I could imagine, I've been there. I says, is something wrong with your jugs? You need a 3-year-old girl, or let's say she was 12-year-old girl. Are you flirting with him? What is this all about? And that's the story shows. She didn't ask questions. You need water? Gladly. I'm going to give you all the camels. A bunch of them. Eliezer came with 10 camels with slaves. He came with a whole entourage. He didn't come alone. And that was the greatness of chesed. That represents chesed. What Nosser brings out, that Avram had a great midas chesed, and that's the opposite of ra'ayin. Ra'ayin means, I am jealous what you have, and upset you have it, and I really don't want it you have it. I would love to have it. I mean, someone is successful, let it be in the money, let it be with his children, let it be, I am unhappy about it. Instead of saying, wow, I'm so happy that you're blessed. And ayin toiv means, like, I'm a giving person, I am happy for you. That doesn't mean I don't wish for myself the same thing, but I'm very happy for you. That represents chesed. Ephraim was the opposite. In the Oros HaMachpelu, now Rabbi Yisrael, Oros HaMachpelu, Rashi says it was called Kiryas Arba. Arba is again four, because it either the four giants were there, Rashi says, or represents, they were buried, four couples were buried there. Again, because the Dalav represents Malchus. The four giants represents the Malchus Shebeklippa. There is Malchus Shebeklippa means there are people who are devoted to Mishigasim. They're devoted to the bottle drinking or gambling or devoted to the addiction or to the sports. He goes to every, whatever it's called, the basketball game. And he has to be sitting up front every basketball game. You know, there are people who are devoted to Mishigasim. That's Malchus the Klippa. Malchus the Kedusha is that you've got to be devoted to Kedusha. So that's why the Kiryas Arba, it was either Dalit, the giant represents the Klippa, and the Tzadik Kedusha represent was the Ovis was buried there. Avram, Uda Mechav Avram, and Sora, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yankov and Leah. That represents the Arba again, the four, because that represents Malchus. See, as I explained this once before, we love to cut corners. Most people keep Shabbos over here. Most people keep kosher. But the Yetzirah says, come on, I can't move this muktzah. Ah, don't make such a big thing about the muktzah. I mean, I can't move the iPhone off the table. My wife is going to get annoyed and the matches are left on the table. The same person would quit his job. I said over once the story. It happened a few years ago with a young man, Davin Zemashu. He was a programmer working all the way to La Cienega on 3rd. That was his working. And the first Shabbos, when they moved the clock, he told his manager that he has to leave early because he has to be home before sunset. You know, he has to have candle lighting. Unfortunately for him, his manager was a frum Jew who fried out. He tells him, I'll tell you when Shkia is, he tells him. You could leave 1 minute before Shkia and walk home. On the spot, he said, I quit. You ain't going to tell me to do. I'm going to walk home the last minute, and I'm going to walk in this way, Shabbos. He came Friday night, told him the story. It was a little like, wow, because his wife was pregnant, due any day. She wasn't working, and didn't have wealthy parents. The Rebbeinu Shlomim, Shabbos watched over him. Monday morning, he gets a phone call from the owner of the business. They moved the manager, and he should come back. They didn't want a lawsuit. He says, the manager moved to another place, and he got a job right. He didn't know. I was remember thinking to myself, when he was telling me this story, it's incredible, Mesiras Nefesh. He had no idea who I was going. He's not going to be Mechal Shabbos, leave the last minute, and, you know, tempting. But this, most people of the same category, sometimes say, Moksa is not the worst. See, we like to cut corners. I once spoke to a woman, and I said, none of you here dress like the Shiksas. But what the Yetzirah says, the skirt doesn't have to cover the knee. You don't have to wear stockings. So then the Shulchan Aruch, you have to wear stockings. So then the Shulchan Aruch skirt has to cover the knee. The Yetzirah doesn't tell them walk around like they're going in short pants. It just cut a corner here, cut a corner here. You know, everything, I eat kosher, but you can. What could be the potato chips without Hashgacha wrong? The cutting malchus is a challenge to keep it up. That's really the challenge. And this is why Avraham wanted so much. Ephraim represents offer of the Sitta Achran, because the Nochash was cursed. Earth should be what you eat. Chazal said the Nochash has no taste. Everything you eat has the taste of earth. And the blessing is that from earth, everything, the Kedusha, everything the Zohar explains, everything we take from the earth. Our plants grow from the earth. Even though the earth got discouraged, but everything is involved around the globe and the earth. So what the Rambam says over here, how he connects this to all, he says, the more emunah you have, you believe in Hashem, the more you could take malchus, you could take responsibility. The more malchus you have, the more money you have, and the more fresh you are. He says, never should be tell yourself, oh, it's another boring day. It's a new challenge. And Nosson says in many different places that Reb Nachman said, Hashem never makes 2 seconds the same. There's never 2 days the same. Never. Never will it be. Just like I say, there's never two people look alike, never looked alike, never will look alike. And there's no, and Yeshama says, there's no two grains that ever looked alike. And there's no two sheep. Same thing, Reb Nachman says, there's never a day, it's every day is different. And it's a different challenge. Yes, today I woke up in a bad mood. So today my challenge to do the good job is much, much bigger. If you wake up in a great mood, your work is much easier. And if you wake up in a bad mood, yes, but I'm going to have to do what I have to do. I have to daven. So today my davening has to be pushed more. But but if you have a munah, you know, you wake up, I'm in a bad mood, or something happened to me that threw me off. It's exactly destined to be this way. This is my challenge. So, he goes on, Nassim, he says, that's why we have the tefillin on the Rosh. Rosh represents the big Aleph, the Emes. The Rosh is Rosh Dvorchu Emes. He explains the Rosh is called Emes. And the Tzul Nishayat represents the truth that's inside the heart. Sometimes the heart tells you something is not right about yourself, about others, the situation. So the heart has to speak its truth too. The truth has to come. And that's why we tie the tefillin, and you notice, it's the middle finger we tied the Ritzuas. The middle finger, but we tied the Ritzuas, represents Yaakov. Because it's Avraham Yitzchak Yankov this way, it's Avraham Yitzchak Yankov this way. It's the middle finger. That is represents Yankov, which represents the B'riach HaTichon, which represents truth. And the more truth you are, So, you know, it's very hard. I want to tell you all something. It's very difficult to see the truth in life. You know why? The truth is extremely painful. If we would see the truth in its rawness, probably we would be embarrassed and bury ourselves under the ground. Because we live with a lot of non-truth to live. Because, as I always say, I like to say this over, everyone thinks that he's in the middle of the road. Have you noticed? Everyone thinks what I do is exactly what Hashem wants. You know, the one on the right, extremely from, they overdo it. The one on the left, underdo it. I am exactly, the middle does exactly. Every person, it seems like the middle of the road must be a very wide middle road because everyone is in the middle. Everyone is convinced his way is. And the reason we convince ourselves is we got to live with ourselves. We got to live with ourselves. So we got to have a defense mechanism. I am good. This is what Hashem wants. You know, that's just humorous. And that is wrong. So the truth in life really escapes us. The only way to get to truth, Ramnasi says, is to the winning film, Bekashi himself to the tzaddikim. He says, this kashis to tzaddikim time brings truth into you. Listen to their advice, brings truth into your heart to be able to find the truth and to find what am I doing on this globe. See, the truth is, if the truth would shine, you would look at yourself and it would be very embarrassing. Because, you know, we're here, what are we doing? So, in order to let truth shine, we have to wear tefillin, we have to daven, we have to learn. All this enlightens us, slowly lets the light, it shouldn't be too overpowering, should be able to see the truth. You know, because Nachman says this often, that Gehenna in the next world is, we look ourselves in the mirror, and we see the truth, it is the most painful thing in the world. Because all our excuses disappear, and then right now we walk around thinking, okay, I didn't do this, I have an excuse, and this is my excuse. Once we take away all the excuses, it's embarrassing, painfully. So we can't always see the truth in the rawness. We have to work slowly, let the truth filter into our hearts. It's like a guy who's blind all his life, and he wants to see the look into the sun. He can't look in, even we can't look into the sun. But a guy who's blind, even a little light is startling. So we have to let the light slowly seep into us to see the truth. So, which I want to really say today, that one of the most important things is where Nosson begins is never to be old. You should wake up in the morning and say, I only live today. Today is my life. See, we're always waiting for that special day. I've never met anyone who met that special day. One day I'll be special. Every day, this moment of your life should be special. You're living right now in the present. No one knows what's going to be tomorrow. As I often say, many of these incredible billionaires, once cancer gets into the system, they're willing to give every penny away they should live. But the Baruch Shem says, your time is up. We have now the gift of life which is worth all the money in the world. We should use it. So we should, you know, the next day, every minute you tell yourself, it's not the same Tuesday or Wednesday. It's a new Tuesday, it's a new Wednesday, and it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new film, it's a new davening, and it's, I'm going to get close to Hashem. But I want to encourage you all, the two things that Reb Nachman says. One is to take time to talk to Hashem. I know that we resist it because every day I want to do it, I see the HR says, maybe not today, an hour. I see it. It's one of the most amazing things that amazes me. That I don't think that I ever had, wow, I'm running to meditate. And second, we have to wear a smile. We have to be happy. We live a life See, Reb Nachman in his days told people to be happy. Life was so difficult in his times. Read history. You see how difficult 250 years ago life was. It was 200 years ago. It was unbearable difficult. People couldn't make a living. Didn't know what to eat. Didn't know what to dress. If you had a coat, the people got a coat at the wedding and lasted them for the next 25 years. It's out of style. You know, you can't wear a coat or a hat, whatever. We are blessed beyond anyone's imagination. Just for that itself, we have to be happy. And truthful is, I want to tell you something, if you're going to be unhappy tomorrow, it's your loss. It's your loss. Because you can make tomorrow's day happy. Now, you're going to tell me, the rabbi would know my tzoras, my problems, you want to say, the problems will be much easier if you're happy. The load of life becomes light when it has an easy way to carry. Happiness carries the load of life. Just living is a load. You got to be responsible for yourself. And your nature, the klola that Chava got, b'tzov and techleni, the klola, we always kvetch and we love to kvetch. So my encouraging again this week is take 20 minutes and don't budge. Turn your cell phone off, close the door, sit in the room, and even if you can't open your mouth, say, Riboy Nishalem, here I came, I would love to talk to you, open my mouth. And if you're confused, say, Riboy Nishalem, I'm so confused, so stressed out, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if I sound silly if I'm going to talk to you. I always say what is the true feeling at that moment. That opens your heart enormously. See, we go out in the world, the Yetzirah is there. You walk out on the street, the Yetzirah screams. We have to give the other side equalness. Our davening, putting on tefillin, saying a kapitul tehillim, talking to Hashem gives us strength to fight the tumah. So I encourage you all. I challenge often people, tomorrow walk around with a fake smile and tell me at the end of the day if your day wasn't better. A fake! Tell you a fake smile. You see how your day was better. Okay.